If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama continued his push for new gun control laws today, holding a campaign-style event in Minneapolis to rally support.
We don't have to agree on everything to agree it's time to do something.
The president called on Congress to reinstate the federal assault weapons ban and place restrictions on the sale of ammunition. Prior to his speech, he met with Democratic officials who told him that they supported his effort to establish a universal system of background checks for gun buyers. Republicans, meanwhile, blasted Obama today for failing to present a budget on time this year. The Budget and Accounting Act of 1921 requires the president to submit his budget request for the upcoming fiscal year by the first Monday of February. The White House is expected to release a budget proposal before Obama delivers his State of the Union address on February 12th. The House will vote this week on a measure that would require Obama to explain to lawmakers how and when he plans on balancing the nation's budget. That measure is expected to pass. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Good evening to you. Duke Brooks here. 1 minute after the top of the hour, thanks very much for being along on this kind of cold day. But, hey, you know, the way I look at it is simply this. My team won yesterday. My team won big, especially going into the second half of the Super Bowl. Then that thing with the lights took place. No one really knows why that was, but it was. And, you know, the last 3 to 5 minutes of that game were extremely scary, and especially when the 49ers began catching up. That was extremely scary, especially for somebody like me who doesn't know the first thing about professional sports, don't really care about them all that much, to be honest with you. I care about my Baltimore teams. I care about the Orioles a great deal, and I care about the Ravens. And I am thrilled that the Ravens won the Super Bowl yesterday. I understand a lot of Eagles fans from Philadelphia kind of gave up on the Eagles at some point in, you know, well before Halloween anyway, because apparently they were just doing a terrible job this year. I don't know the first thing about it. So I don't pay an awful lot of attention to it. But when the Ravens started getting red hot and they began winning in the postseason, then I was very happy. And I hope that you were happy too. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Let me fill you in on what we have going on tonight. We do have a few things that will be taking place. I have been involved in politics here in the state of Delaware for quite a while. In fact, I'm the spokesman for our local Republican committee here in Sussex County. I don't speak on this show in my official capacity as spokesman for the Republican Party. I don't. I speak on this show as me. That's it. I'm going to have a guest. There are going to be a couple of guests this evening. One of them, my friend Kevin Whiteman, who is in North Carolina, is going to be joining us shortly with the Religion of Peace update. He'll be explaining all the wonderful, peaceful, tolerant, humane, civilized things that are regularly done in the name of the religion of peace, which, as you know, is, as they say today, Islam, and which I refer to as Mohammedanism, because that's what I was taught in school. But anyway, that will be very interesting. We want to make that a regular feature here of Radio Free America on Monday nights. I'm also going to be hearing from my friend Steve Smick. Steve was just elected in November as a freshman legislator in the State House in Dover, the capital of Delaware. And he represents of course, we have a House and a Senate in Dover, as they have in every state of the Union, with the exception, I believe, of Nebraska. I think Nebraska is a monocameral House, just one chamber. If somebody knows for a fact, and I'm wrong about that, that is just fine. Call me and set me straight, 718-305-7176, because when I am factually wrong about something, and you can prove me wrong, and you can set me straight using facts, I'm not talking about opinion, I'm not talking about judgment. If you have facts and I'm wrong about something, you're my hero. Doesn't matter what else you are. If you can prove to me that the USS Missouri was present on Battleship Row at Pearl Harbor, I'm not talking about right now, I'm talking about on December 7th, 1941, that's fine. If you think you can, have at it. And you can even try now at 718-305-7176. I have news for you. The USS Missouri was just barely off the ways at that point. So it was not at Battleship Row of Pearl Harbor. The California was, the West Virginia, the Tennessee, the Maryland, the Nevada, the Arizona, those were all there, the Oklahoma, but the California was not, the Missouri was not. So anyway, I digress. So Steve will be joining us, and Steve, you're going to like Steve a great deal. Steve was a Delaware State Trooper for many, many, many years. In fact, he was the president of the Delaware Troopers Association. And then he retired from the troopers. He then ran for a newly created district in the county representing to Dover, and he won. Steve is a Republican, a conservative, former U.S. Army warrant officer, has spent his life in law enforcement and in the service of the people of this community. And if you have ever wondered what it's like to actually be a legislator, I mean, everybody says, oh, the legislators should do this, should do that. That's fine. Steve actually is a legislator. He is a freshman, and that's okay. So we're going to learn a few things. I'm also going to be joined tonight by Mike Hinsey, who is from Milwaukee, and Mike will be calling in. He is one of the Tea Party leaders up there in the Dairy State of Wisconsin. And we're just hoping that the Tea Party movement somehow is still alive and well. I'm hoping that you're going to be calling in. And the number, as I've mentioned, is 718-305-7176. And, well, I see that there's quite a few people here in the chat room, and I'm very glad that they're there. I don't spend an awful lot of time looking at the chat room, because I'm doing this show by myself. There are only, of the six hosts, only three are solo. That is me and the two Chris's, Christopher Manti and Chris Ricketts. Everybody else works in pairs. I'm presuming that's because one of them can read and the other one can write. I don't know. It's about 9 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thank you so much for being along. I heard this morning that a lot of people, and this was on the network news, this was on national news, a lot of people called in sick today. A lot of people were late getting into work today. A lot of people, tried to take a day off. A lot of people apparently went out of their minds last night and were up until all hours partying and boozing and, you know, the Super Bowl. And that's fine, I suppose. I guess my question is, you know, what is the point? If you're an adult, what is the point? You know, I mean, can you imagine owning a business where there are businessmen who require your company's product to be delivered and your company requires them to pay for it in order for your company to stay alive? And the businessmen or store owners or retailers that are counting on your company to deliver, and you have to say to them, about half of my guys won't be in until the afternoon. As if the entire world cares about the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, please, there really just has to be a limit to just taking time off because you're hungover after a sporting event. I mean, I can't be the only guy in the whole world that thinks so. If you think I'm wrong, 718-305-7176 is the number to call, and I will be delighted to discuss it with you. I do think that it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing, and it's very enjoyable to watch. Clearly there is a tremendous amount of money involved. I don't fully understand it. From what I understand, there are tickets for the Super Bowl that retail at $30,000 and $40,000 a ticket. What kind of a world does a person live in if they can spend $40,000 on a ticket for a sporting event? I've got to be honest with you. I really just don't get it. It is 12 minutes after the hour. You know, I really hope that everyone out there listening will not allow the liberal media to convince them that conservatives like us are in the minority. In fact, Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. There is more than sufficient polling data out there to prove it, and that's just the way it is, folks. Now, if you respect American history and traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what is new in the conservative community. So join up, post your writing, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. It is about 13 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. The number is 718-305-7176. Well, we actually did get some good news today out of the small town of Midland, Alabama. I'm not familiar with it. I'm presuming it's somewhere between, I guess, Montgomery and Birmingham. I've been to Alabama. I've been there once. I was there for a couple of days. I went to the wedding of a guy that was a friend of mine. Sadly, he's no longer with us, but that was in Mobile. I think in 92 or 93, maybe it was I thought Alabama was wonderful. I ate at a place called the Bates House of Turkey on the interstate, somewhere between Birmingham and Mobile. I thought it was wonderful. The USS Alabama is located in Mobile, Mobile Bay, and you could go on board the Alabama. And I remember going there with my ex, who she and I were still together at the time, the good doctor, Carol Ramsey. I wonder if she would mind if I use her name on the air. But in any event, we went there. We had a wonderful time. And that was the first time I ever saw an F-4U Corsair, which is the airplane that my dad flew in the U.S. Marines in World War II, in real life. I'd seen 1,000 pictures of the Corsair, But there at Mobile's, I think it's called Battleship Park, there was an F4U Corsair. I believe my, speaking of the Marines, I believe Kevin Whiteman is with us. Is that you, Kevin?
Yes, it would be, Duke. Hello, good evening to you, and hello, good evening, America.
All right. Thanks for being aboard, pal. Semper Fi, how are you doing
Semper
today?
Semper Fidelis there, Big Daddy-O.
What's new in the Eastern City, the premier place, the home of the USS North Carolina? What's going on in Wilmington?
Oh, life is lovely, man. Hey, I'm keeping Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach. I mean, the front line of making sure that the Muslim hordes do not attack. I'm there, baby.
All right. Well, fill us in on what those wacky, wonderful, wild Mohammedans are doing now. Here's the
Well, okay. First thing, I got a couple for you. But the first one is a report from just a couple days ago from WND.com. And it turns out that one of the most influential Muslim universities in the world has decreed the eating of human flesh of non-Muslims is permissible, believe it or not. It turns out that at Egypt's Al-Tahir television channel, the Al-Aqna textbook, which is coming out for high school kids there in Egypt, has come out and said, let me see, I want to make sure I get it correct here. We allow the flesh of dead humans under necessary conditions. It, human flesh, must not be cooked or grilled to avoid haram, evil. And he can kill a murtad, apostate, and eat him. The textbook gives the authorization for the eating of the flesh of non-believers, as well as the following. As previously mentioned, apostates, as well as Muslims who do not pray correctly, adulterers, and to those who have already been sentenced to death. Now, the interesting thing about this, Duke, the publisher of this textbook is none other than, I want to make sure I get this correct, Al-Azhar University, there in Cairo. And I'm sure you remember back in 2009, Al-Azhar University was the place where our own beloved Barack Hussein Obama went to deliver his apology tour to the Muslim world.
Yeah, where, who could ever forget such a thing?
Who could ever forget such a crazy thing? As a matter of fact, old Mr. Obama, when he was there in 2009, he said, for over 1,000 years, Al-Azhar has stood as a beacon of Islamic learning, and for over a century, its Cairo University has been a source of Egypt's advancement. I guess he forgot about the part where it's okay to eat human flesh.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I think the president is coming from some kind of an alternate universe. What planet is this guy from? And that sort of thing, Kevin, I just, I am not really a fan of the president's policies. But, hey, thanks for calling up and enlightening us, and we look forward to hearing from you again next Monday.
Hey, you got it, Big Daddy. I'll see you then.
Semper Fi, pal. Thanks for calling in. Kevin Whiteman, everybody, with the Religion of Peace update. And we'll be hearing that from Kevin about this time every Monday. He uncovers some of the most bizarre things from the Mohammedan religion. And I must tell you, there are many of us who feel that we will die as Christians before we will live for 1 second as a Mohammedan. And I'm one of them. In any event, it is 19 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on the conservativenationradio.org. And we'll have more of your calls and more interesting tidbits coming up right after this, so don't go away.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the3rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Boy, you're not kidding. I am. In case you don't know what the fairness doctrine is, you can call me up and I'll tell you. The number is 718-305-7176. And this is Duke Brooks. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org, America's premier conservative talk show internet network. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Thank you very much for being along on this post-Super Bowl Monday evening. I've just heard from Steve Smick. He will be calling in at, in about 20 minutes or so. And I look forward to hearing from Steve. He is a wonderful guy, and I think you will really enjoy hearing from him. In any event, I'm glad that Kevin called in with the Religion of Peace update. There is no moral equivalence between the Mohammedan faith and the Western faith. There simply is not. I really don't care what any of the liberals in the media say. The liberals have logic, rationality, reasoning, those things mean nothing to the liberals, and they never really have. The liberals live in a world of feelings and emotions and theory and hopes and dreams and wouldn't it be nice? And all that kind of stuff. And they constantly talk about morality and ethics and those things and the milk of human kindness. And, I suppose those things are wonderful if you can afford them. And the fact of the matter is our nation now has a $16 trillion debt, almost 16 and a half trillion the last time I checked, and frankly, we cannot afford the milk of human kindness, and the liberals can do all of the hand-wringing, heart-bleeding, and bedwetting that they want to, but it simply will not work. They can't print their way in terms of money out of this problem. It is just not doable. 718-305-7176 is the number here. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. There is some good news today. They got the five-year-old. Apparently he has been liberated from the clutches of the insane kidnapper in Midland, Alabama. Very good news. That I think that took place last Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, today was like, day six or day seven of that thing. What on earth could that guy have been thinking? I just don't get it. If anybody knows anything, if you have heard something, if you've been able to stay glued to the TV all day or something, give me a call at 718-305-7176, because I would like an update. And the last I heard of this this afternoon, shortly after 5 o'clock, was that the gunman was deceased. He is no longer with us, and the victim, some five-year-old boy, He is now good to go. He's free, and they said that he was okay, and this is very, very good news. I'm very, very glad to hear this. I don't know if anybody caught any part of the president's interview with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes yesterday afternoon. You know, before the game, I guess they had a special edition of 60 Minutes. Or, you know, I suppose, you know, what it really comes down to, folks, at the end of the day, is that a people get the government they deserve. There just is no question about it. And elections have consequences. The president has been saying for years that he just will not raise taxes on the middle class. Everybody's taxes went up. Everybody's. Take a look at your paycheck if you don't believe me. Compare it to the one from this time last year. Every American has to be a CPA, of course, if you want to comply with IRS regulations, which is the most complicated set of regulations that the human race has ever devised. And I think that you know, people are getting really fed up with it, but everybody's taxes went up. The government taxes incomes. The government taxes gasoline in part because they want to discourage people from using gasoline. Now, many people will say, well, you know, there's global warming. Exxon caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. All capitalists are evil and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, that none of that is true. We are not causing global warming. The climate of this planet is changing. It has been changing for millions of years, longer than that even. And our puny power to do something about it is just that. It's puny. There is simply no way that anything that the human race does is ever, under any circumstances, going to do anything about the geology, the physics, the atmospherics, the climate, or even the weather of this planet. When Krakatoa blew up in 1898 or 1888 or whenever it was, that had an effect on the weather and the climate of the planet. When Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines blew up, that had an effect on it. There was an Icelandic volcano a couple of years ago that had an effect in the extreme northern hemisphere. We really can't do anything about this. If you think I'm wrong, you know, I'm sure that there's some liberals listening who believe in anthropogenic global warming, in other words, man-made, the same way that some people believe in their religions. Then you can call me if you can prove what your case is. Go right ahead. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I would love to hear from you. We're coming up now on, well, it's about 28 and a half minutes after the hour. Thanks very much for being along. I'm sure we're all very happy that the youngster, the five-year-old, was liberated from the guy in Alabama. We will learn more about that as the days progress. Apparently, the police took out the kidnapper, and frankly, I'm pretty much in favor of that. That's sort of what has to happen in a case like that. Not much question about it. And it wound up with the hostage being rescued and being freed. Wonderful. You know, I imagine kidnapping is about the worst thing that could possibly happen to a family. I mean, can you possibly believe what a horrible thing to have to go through? I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. And there is a wonderful film, by the way. It is by Brian De Palma. It came out in 74, 75, called Obsession, and Bernard Herrmann wrote the music, and Cliff Robertson and Jean-Pierre Bujold are in it. John Lithgow, this is like his first big film role, and it's about a kidnapping and the absolutely horrible plot twist and the psychological abuse that takes place as a result. Obsession by Brian De Palma. It takes place in New Orleans. I think you'll like it. It is 30 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. More of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
This Valentine's Day, give your special someone a beautiful Swarovski crystal heart made by women who have survived war in South Sudan. These stunning items are available in small, medium, and large sizes and come in crystal, red, pink, and other beautiful colors. And the best part? They're yours starting at just $25 plus shipping. To order yours today, go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Oh, I agree with that, don't you? Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Thanks very much for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. As I mentioned, Steve Smick will be joining me shortly. Delaware State Legislator, brand new district. You know, once every 10 years, state and federal legislative district boundaries are redrawn. A lot of people think that it is normally just an exercise in gerrymandering, and it could be. And depends upon who's in charge in that state's particular house and who appointed the federal judges that oversee it on the federal level. Then you have to throw into the mix an old Supreme Court decision that said that there has to be a minimum number of minorities representing minority districts at the federal level, and they drew districts to make sure that certain legislators would always be reelected in those districts. I think it was Sandra Day O'Connor that during a voting rights case or a redistricting case looked at some of the districts and said, this is just bizarre, because this one particular congressman in South Carolina or Georgia or somewhere, he had a district that ran for a couple of hundred yards on one side of a highway, a few hundred yards on the other side. There was a particular house that was in the district, but the houses surrounding it were not in his district. That's not really what it's supposed to. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. But in any event, there was a new district created in the county in Delaware in which I live. There are only three counties in the state of Delaware. There is no state in the union that has fewer counties than Delaware. Even Rhode Island has more counties than Delaware. But the 20th representative district was created. Of course, there was a Democrat running for the district. There was a Republican running for the district. The Republican won. There was a new Senate district created. Same thing, Republican versus Democrat. The Republican won. Our county is pretty conservative, even though Democrats and Republicans have almost a one-to-one registration. It's about 52,000 for each in this county. The Republicans win almost everything. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, what do you think? You know, I mean, if you're a liberal Democrat, you're going to be okay with everybody in your legislature being a Democrat. But if the Republicans have a majority anywhere, the Democrats go absolutely nuts. The number here is 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. You are listening to conservativenationradio.org. Thanks very much for being along tonight. Just happy happy about two things. Happy that the Super Bowl was won by the Ravens. If you're a sports person, incidentally, if you know anything at all about gambling, please don't bother typing your answer into the chat room because I'm just not reading the chat room. But if you understand gambling, maybe you could call me and explain to me what is meant by the phrase, the Ravens got 3.5 points. Before the game, it's the quote line, unquote. I don't understand it. I don't know anything about gambling, odds, lines, bookmakers, that sort of thing. I don't know the first thing about it. My best friend Bill McGarry knows everything about it. I don't know anything about it. Bill is a walking adding machine. Let's put it this way. There are three kinds of people in this world. Those who can count and those who can't. All right? And, you know, I'm in that second group. There's absolutely no question about it. Heck, I didn't realize until I was about 30 that 1 plus 1 does not equal 11. And, you know, I'm just a non-mathematical person. Don't like it. Doesn't make very much sense to me. If it makes sense to you, I think that you should have to live somewhere else from the rest of us normal people, even though my girlfriend is like a walking computer. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I've never understood it, never understood math. It means nothing. It is utterly and completely, it's incomprehensible to me. It is 36 minutes after the hour. The number here is 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you for being along. This is Radio Free America. It is conservativenationradio.org. The president, of course, is still going on and on about gun control. There have been several statements lately that, nothing is an absolute right. That may be true. The First Amendment does not give you the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. The First Amendment does not give you the right. There are limits. I mean, and they make sense. The limits make sense. The First Amendment does not provide you protection against charges of slander or libel. Those are both civil charges. They're, as far as I know, they're never criminal. The First Amendment does not give you the right to engage in religious worship in any way that you want to. You can't. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your culture is like in the land that you came from to live in this one. You're not allowed to conduct human sacrifice and call it your religion. You're not allowed to do that. There was a famous case a while back in which there were some Indians in New Mexico or Arizona that part of their form of worship that had been their form of worship for a very, very long time, they were using peyote mushrooms, which are hallucinogenic. And you're not allowed to do that. You're just not. And they took the case to the Supreme Court, I think, that the Indians lost. And the Supreme Court ruled that, you know, we're sorry, but this form of religious worship is simply something that we're not going to allow. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. They had been doing that for thousands of years in that tribe, in that area. And I cannot imagine the circumstances. Why would they not simply say, okay, you're going to be allowed to do this. We recognize the precedent, but the hallucinogenic mushrooms themselves, this must be done in a controlled environment, and it must they must be kept under lock and key. There's got to be some kind of a reasonable way that the Supreme Court could have found for those people in that tribe to continue to worship in the way that they had for thousands of years. We think it's just getting high. As far as they were concerned, it was a form of religious worship. And who are we to say that, you know, short of human sacrifice or something, who are we to say that you're not allowed to do that? That's the way I look at it anyway. 718-305-7176 is the number. And let's see, I believe that Steve Smick is with us. Representative Smick, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Great, great. Duke, it's good to be with you on this radio. I know this is where your talents lie and your heart
well,
lies
thank
here,
you
too.
For
it's really nice to hear you out there.
I really appreciate that, my friend. Well, as I've mentioned, you are a freshman legislator. You're an elected legislator representing the 20th Representative District out of Sussex County, and you've been in session now for a little over a month, I guess. What is it like to be a legislator up there? What are some of the challenges? What's happening?
Well, it's something that I kind of expected. You know my background, and I guess a lot of people may still not know my background, and that is that I've been in public service as a trooper for 25 years, that I always took the longest and most arduous path, which is the most honorable path. And what that does is it can create some waves. But people, when they see you do the right thing in your life, Duke, and we've discussed this in the past, people champion that. And troopers out of the state voted me in as president of the Troopers Association. So I've spent the last several sessions up in Leghall, not just in Delaware, however. I have gone to other states as well. But I know how to dribble this ball in our legislature. And when the seat opened up, I thought it was wrong for me not to do it. And so that's gave me a little bit of an edge. I know a lot of the players. I know a lot of the people that are the lobbyists there and the aides. I know where the meetings are held. So that helps me sit right in a much more comfortable position than if I was absolutely green. I think that if you were spanking new to all of this, it would be just so overwhelming. And I'm not telling you that I'm not overwhelmed. The plethora of bills that are out there, the needs of our public is quite overwhelming. There's a lot of people that need help. We're trying to get it out there, and you just can't do it fast enough. So I can see where if you didn't have a background in state services at all, it would be quite difficult to comprehend it all.
Steve, being a state trooper, without question, is an honorable profession, but it is extraordinarily dangerous. And, you know, you and I went over to your former barracks, Troop 7, on one day during the summer, and you pointed out to me the portraits inside the building of the various troopers who had lost their lives in the line of duty over the years. When you go up to Dover, it's kind of dog-eat-dog, and people will stab you in the back and all that kind of stuff. It's a different kind of danger, and it can be very, very dangerous, as we all know, in different ways. What kind of challenges are you facing, and how do you make it clear to somebody that they want to put forth a bill and they want you to support it, and that bill is going to ultimately be bad for the taxpayers and the citizens of the state? How do you deal with that sort of thing?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of people come up to me with just bad ideas. There's a lot of bad or a lot of good ideas out there, and those good ideas may have been presented in a bad way. So I like to sit down, and that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, is sitting with those people that have good ideas, that have good intentions, and see how it can actually fit in the existing parameters that we have. And it's what's been very important lately is that there is no money for the state to just patch up some issues. And you know that a lot of things that happen, a lot of the growth especially in this area as well throughout the state, it demands some monetary fixes. You know, if you want to fix a bridge, that's going to cost money. If you want to build a path for bicyclists, that's going to cost money. And we just heard at the governor's state of the state that there's not going to be any money. Matter of fact, he's going to have to take away things from people, and we're going to have to make decisions on what we're going to keep. And that is absolutely alarming. The so what I would do, and I don't know if I told you this before, Duke, but I was successful in having a bill in the last legislative session, and it took two legislative sessions to get it done. But it's because, I'm going to tell you, it's because there's not a lot of communication. There are so many things that are moving so very fast that the most important issues seem to get the forefront, and they come up, and that makes your issue that might be important to you, that just sits on the back burner, and you're going to have to wait till next session. And sometimes that's not a bad thing, because you only make your legislation stronger. You look at the problems that it would create and say, well, we can avoid that by changing this or making an amendment to that bill. So I've got a couple bills that are in the wings myself.
Well, tell me about them. What are they?
Well, one of the things that the policemen are having right now is, and these are my friends and they have my ear, so that's where I come from, is the very quick and very small methamphetamine labs. And these labs are coming up in just in the rural areas. So you're not going to see this in Wilmington. And as you know, as well as I, that the majority of our legislation comes out of Wilmington. Legislators there's much more legislators up there in the Wilmington area, Newcastle County. And
it's
not a problem to them. Yeah, it
is.
And if it's not important to them, we're not going to get the attention down south here. So that's one of the great things that we have this new seat open for a Senate and a representative seat, and it is in Sussex County. So I've got the ear of Democrats. I've got the ear of Newcastle County Democrats and Republicans on this methamphetamine lab bill that I have. But it's not just specific to meth. The methamphetamines have been around for a long time, and usually your labs have characteristically been much larger. And when you seize that lab, there's drugs with it. Now, it seems that you can put all of these items to make this drug in a backpack. Take it off your back, and you make it in the backseat of a car. Now, what challenge that gives law enforcement is that the product is gone by the time the lab is seized. Now, we can overcome this with new legislation. We're trying to create that legislation, but I think that it's also going to have to get into some safety issues. The byproduct, the waste product of the when you make a lab for meth is very volatile. They're putting these liquids into a Coke bottle, a standard Coke bottle. They throw it in a ditch that's real close to your house. These ditches now are cleaned by families, by corporations and companies, and to include children. I have a nephew, my godchild's a Eagle Scout, and he had spent a lot of time cleaning the roads. These kids pick this up, throw it in a trash can, and it blows up. If this blows up in their hand, they're going to be losing a hand. And that's why I think it's very important to get that out to our policemen all throughout the state as a very good tool. Some other states are already doing it.
So your bill would enhance penalties, or what specifically would it do?
What it's going to do is it's going to make that lab illegal, because right now there's nothing in that lab that's illegal. When you're buying over-the-counter cold medicine and you're crushing that up, you're buying lithium batteries and you're stripping that up. It's not the whole battery that you use. You actually take it apart. And you're using chemicals that are all household items. So a defense in any court, and you have a defense attorney that comes up and says that my client doesn't have anything that's not illegal. All that stuff is legal to have, and there's no drug. Tell me how you know he's selling or making drugs with those items that are just trash in his house. And this is going to be able to test the items, look at the byproduct, the waste product of this, and say, well, here's the waste product. We don't need the drug. Here's the waste product. This is all that you need to create this type of drug. Who else is going to strip apart a lithium battery? I don't know anybody that just, before they started making meth, tearing apart lithium batteries and licking them. This just doesn't happen. So
sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous. What it does is there's no current law, and I think that far too often legislators have a tendency to appease their constituency by making laws when in all reality we far often than not already have existing laws that just need to be either, like you said, enhanced or merely enforced.
Well, you're right about that, and I think the current paranoid gun situation in this country is a very good example of that, don't you?
I do. I'm quite sad that our two top political officials, which is our Attorney General's office and our governor, are taking advice on their from their political advisors versus policy advisors when it comes to something that they can relate that's very difficult for anyone to handle, and that is all those victims up in Newtown, Connecticut. I think that that touches the heart of everyone across the nation, and to harness that and take it and point that towards a failed policy, political policy of gun control, is just awful.
Well, as they say in the Obama White House, you never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think this is a good example of that.
You're right on.
Steve, thank you so much for joining me tonight. We hope to hear from you again, my friend, and I certainly look forward to seeing you around your home here in Sussex County. And I hope to get up there to Dover at some point and drop in on you in Legislative Hall.
You're always welcome, but it's going to be hard to keep up with me. I got to tell you, I'd love to see
it. Always has been.
All right. See you, Duke.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great evening, and thanks for calling in. All right, Steve Smick, what a great guy. You know, it's I've always said it is much better to know the people than it is to not know them. And it's not really in Delaware. There is no point, no part of this state that is more than about an hour drive, hour and 10 minutes from the state legislature. And in a state like Delaware, you can get to know your state legislator, your state senator. You can get to know the governor, the lieutenant governor. And it's not hard. And if you're a reasonable person, they absolutely will talk to you. And they absolutely will listen to what you have to say as a citizen. It is 7 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, those of us here at conservativenationradio.org, we are very proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, our program Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time. Carl is the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. You've probably seen him on Fox News. Maybe you've read his book, Battle of the on the Home Front. I guess nobody told those guys in the White House that you just don't mess around with Navy SEALs. Carl is a real patriot. He has talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. 6 minutes before the top of the hour, more of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Now, if you are on the inside of Republican politics, you know what a rhino is. That is a Republican in name only. And I've got to be honest with you, those people are a real serious bugaboo to people like me. If you are not a conservative, you're not a Republican. It's that simple. The Republican Party has been engaged in this kind of silly sort of column left march along with the Democrats now for the last, at least 20, 25 years. And it's not a good thing. It is simply not a good thing. At least 15 years now it's been going on. And I just, you know, not good, not good. Anyway, 3.5 minutes before the top of the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. My name is Duke Brooks. Thank you very much for being along this evening. It looks like the chat room is filling up. During the breaks, I will kind of rear my ugly head in there for a moment or two at a time, but that's about it. There's some people that are focused on the chat room. Hey, man, this is radio. You know, I got to be honest with you, I don't really have the time. But thank you for being along and thank you for listening. Coming up in the next hour, we will be, of course, checking on this day in Civil War history 150 years ago. You know, we are moving very, very closely now to the 100th anniversary of World War One. Very, very interesting. World War One was and if you're a military history guy like me, and I'm a real serious military history buff, whatever that means, World War One is an extremely interesting event. If you're into military history, by all means, give me a call. We have about 2 minutes until the top of the hour now. 718-305-7176. But as I think a lot of people are aware, or at least they should be aware, World War One started when this dude whose name was Franz Ferdinand and who had this position known as the Archduke of Austria was assassinated in Sarajevo by this Serbian dude whose name was Gavrilo Princip. And that's what started World War One. And back then, you know, Germany as we know it today was kind of a brand new country. There were quite a few Germanic states that came together. The real big power in Europe back then was the Habsburg House, which basically owned and operated the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Austrians and the Hungarians were the big power in Europe back then. France kind of thought that it was. England certainly was. The Germans were brand new. The Russians were still under the Tsar. There were all kinds of loyalties and all kinds of alliances. And here we were over here, protected from all that by the Atlantic Ocean. And we had a guy in the White House whose name was Woodrow Wilson. And Woodrow Wilson was a man of peace. And if you look all through history, you will see that the so-called men of peace never bring anything except war. There really are no exceptions to that. A lot of people were taught in high school that after they sank the Lusitania, the American people demanded war, and that's why we went into it. That is not the reason. It is the top of the hour. I'll fill you in on that right after this. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Radio Free America, hour number two. Duke Brooks here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. That is Incense and Peppermints. Can't believe I have forgotten the name of the band that did Incense and Peppermints. I play that sort of thing just as a generational marker. I think that song is from 1967, when I was 12 years old, and I always kind of liked it. It's just basically, hey, look, this is my generation. This is the music that, that we were listening to when people like me were of that age. And I always sort of liked that thing. So that's one of the reasons why I use that. And there are other little pieces. We heard Monday by the Mamas and the Papas a short while ago, just about the same sort of era, 1967, something like that. So that, sadly, I'm not able to find. I think that I can pull up. It's the Strawberry Alarm Clock. Yeah, how could I have ever forgotten that one, right? Yeah, Incense and Peppermints, the Strawberry Alarm Clock. And, I've just always kind of liked that song. I don't know what else to tell you. It is 2 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. World War One, very, very interesting. This is 2013. It's a little right around 99 years ago that World War One started. There was a book that I began to read, I think, when I was about 8 or 9. My grandmother had it. It was called The Guns of August by Barbara Tuchman, T-U-C-H-M-A-N. I think there's one N, maybe two, I don't know. But it was August of 1914 when World War One started. And Kaiser Wilhelm invaded Belgium, invaded France. He was allied with the Austro-Hungarian Empire. I think the French were allied with the Russians back then, the Russian the Tsar of Russia, and the Serbians were allied with the Russians. After the Serbian Gavrilo Princip assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand in July of 1914 in Sarajevo, I think the Russians basically said, okay, look, we're going to have to get our alliances together. That includes you, the French, And the French were like, okay, that's fine. And the feeling was that the Austro-Hungarians were going to have to teach a very serious lesson to the Serbians. The Serbians were allied with the Russians. The Russians were allied with the French. That made the French and the Belgians the enemy of the Kaiser, and it just went on from there. And World War I was going on in Europe for about 2.5 years before the United States got involved. And I was taught when I was a kid that when a German U-boat sank the Lusitania, which I believe was in, if I remember, in May of 1915, that was what brought the United States in, because the Lusitania was a civilian passenger ship. There were American citizens on board, and that's what got us angry at Germany. That is not correct. That's not correct. That is not the reason why we finally entered World War I on the side of the English. The reason we entered World War I was that we had intercepted a cable. We had intercepted a telegram that was sent from Berlin to the German ambassador in Mexico City, who had the name of Zimmerman. And the Germans instructed their ambassador in Mexico City to determine whether or not the Mexicans would permit them to land an army in Mexico and then march into Texas and invade the United States. And as soon as Woodrow Wilson learned of that, that's when he said, okay, all right, that's it. We've had it with you guys. The English were, you know, the trench warfare basically kind of ground to a halt, really by the early part of 1915, 6 or 8 months into the war. The trench lines across France were, they were established, and they're, you know, it was a stalemate. It remained a stalemate for a very long time. And finally, our guys arrived over there. And a couple of very interesting things happened when the American Expeditionary Force arrived over there. First, we were allied with England. Obviously, we were allied with the British. So were the Canadians and the Indians and all the countries of their empire and Commonwealth. And I saw a diary one time. Somebody lent me a book about World War I a couple of years ago. It was a very, very interesting book. And there were some diary excerpts from a girl who lived in London, and the American forces were on parade. They were marching through London, I guess, to get on trains so that they could then go to Folkestone or somewhere on the Pas de Calais and disembark and go across the channel, go into France, and then join the fight. And this English girl had written in her diary, she was going on and on about how many Americans there were. She wrote how they all seemed to be, on average, physically larger than British men of the same age. She said that they were obviously very, very well equipped. They had an awful lot of gear. They had a lot of weapons. We had brought an awful lot of our own horses because horses were still very much in use in the military all over the world at that time. If you saw that Steven Spielberg movie called War Horse, you understand that. But interestingly, as an aside, you know, I once read that there was only one army in all of World War II that was 100% mechanized everywhere that it went, and that was ours, the U.S. Army, the only one in all of World War II, 100% mechanized. I read somewhere that in World War II, the German army was, at most, was only 35% mechanized. Most of its operations behind the lines and in the rear areas were conducted by horses. Very interesting, but I digress. I also read that when Blackjack Pershing, General John J. Pershing, who was the commander of the American Expeditionary Force, when he went in and met with General Haig, the British commander, as American forces were beginning to arrive, General Haig began giving orders to General Pershing as if General Pershing was his subordinate, and General Pershing said something to him like, apparently there's something that you don't understand. My country has unilaterally declared war on the Kaiser. We did not declare ourselves to be your ally in this. We are over here to make war against the Kaiser. If there's something that we can do to help you, then that's fine. But we're not your subordinates. We're not going to be, you know, taking orders from you. My troops will not be under your command. And apparently the Brits resisted that at first, and then ultimately they, you know, they decided that they did not have that much of a choice. And obviously, ultimately, we won. Now, I have seen recently a very interesting, very well-done film, came out 8 or 10 years ago, I think, HBO or Cinema, you know, one of those channels, that is called The Lost Battalion. And I believe, well, Rick Schroeder is the star of the film, and it's actually a very, very well-done film about these American, couple of American battalions and a couple of companies thereof that in World War I were ordered to move forward and to take a particular location in the Meuse-Argonne forest in France. And they were not supported. They were cut off. They were surrounded by the Germans. And there were about 500 Americans. That's a very large battalion, I think. If you now, as I've said many, many times, I have never been in the service. I am not at all happy about that. I'm not comfortable with the fact that I've never been in the military, especially from my perspective now as a maturing adult in his mid-50s. So I, you know, I'm not really sure how large these units are. If you, and I'm sure that there are some former military types who are listening, please give me a call and set me straight on this. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I'd like to know, from what I understand, a company is typically about 80 to 90 guys. Is that correct? I hope that's right. A squad is about 12 guys. There are three or four squads in a platoon. There are at least two platoons in a company. And there are at least two companies in a battalion. A couple, three battalions comprise a regiment. Several, two or three regiments comprise a brigade. A couple of brigades make up a division. Divisions together, several of them make up a corps, and several corps, a couple of corps, make up an army. I think I've got that right. I think a battalion would normally be, oh, I don't know, maybe 600 guys? No, smaller than that, 400 guys. I think a battalion is normally about 400 guys. You know, I hope that, I hope I got that right. I don't know. Hey, I wanted to mention to you, and it is about 14 minutes after the hour, I wanted to recommend to you, as a matter of fact, this is going to be in order, that you've got to check out Chris Ricketts, and the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Chris is a great guy. He has no fear. No fear. One thing he is not afraid of is to wave the banner of Christianity in this world today, which is becoming increasingly hostile to Christians and biblical principles. Actually, you know, former Marines aren't afraid of anything, are they? So check out Chris. Join up with him. He will talk about Christianity. I hope you do, too. He speaks about the Holy Bible and God's plan for mankind's salvation. He could also talk a little bit about his time in the Commandant's Own, the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C. He was at Marine Barracks at 8th and I. That is the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. It is 15 minutes after the hour. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here on Radio Free America. Thank you very much for being along this evening. Very, very glad you could make it. I know you're a conservative. I know you are. There are some liberals that listen, but that's okay. They're welcome to listen. They're welcome to call in, too. But I'm assuming that if you are listening right now, then you are a conservative. So that means if you're a conservative, you love America, and you love our Constitution just like we do. Now, since that is the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts and flags. You've got a pipeline for that good stuff. It is right here at conservativenationradio.org. So just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you directly to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. It is real conservatism for real conservatives. 17 minutes after the hour, more of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Indeed, this is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. About 18 minutes after the top of the hour. Hour number two of Radio Free America. This is Monday, February 4th, 2013, the day after the night before the Super Bowl was being played exactly 24 hours ago. I'd love to get your opinion of that game. The number is... The number here is 718-305-7176. And, you know, as I said, I just don't know an awful lot about professional sports. I remember telling this fact to somebody I met one time, and he said to me, yeah, it's probably because you couldn't play any of them in school. And I said, well, that is absolutely, definitely, and without any question, correct. I just don't have the coordination to do it. Now, I was an oarsman in college. I rowed on an eight-man. I rowed in the freshman eight, then the JV. I never really got to varsity, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? That was an awful lot of fun, but it did not require the same kind of coordination and skill that is necessary in Major League Baseball. Hey, it's less than 60 days until opening day. Or in the NFL. And, you know, if you watch that game yesterday, even if you don't know anything about professional football, and frankly, I don't know anything about professional football. My girlfriend knows more about football and baseball than I do. As a matter of fact, she knows more about football and baseball than I would have to say the vast majority of people do, because she just does. But, you can tell by watching those guys yesterday for San Francisco and Baltimore, those guys knew everything about professional football. They wouldn't have been there otherwise. And, yeah, that guy was right. I forget who it was. But I just don't know a thing about it. Really don't. 718-305-7176 is the number. If you know something about it, I would appreciate if you would give me a call, because you can fill me in. I still don't fully understand what it means when my best friend Bill McGarry in Philadelphia a couple of days ago said, yeah, books, the Ravens are being given 3.5 points. I don't know what that means. I don't really understand it. I actually called a local radio talk show this morning at a station where I worked for quite a while on the air, and asked the morning guy if he understood what it meant. And the explanation he gave, sadly, just didn't really fill in. You know, it just didn't. And I still just don't know. I hope that someone does, and that somebody can, fill me in on this, because I'm still out to sea. 718-305-7176. Being an oarsman, being on the crew, just didn't really require as much coordination as it does to play baseball or football. I mean, I've heard that there are some experts who have said that the single hardest thing to do in any sport that has ever been devised, all of them, the hardest thing to do in any sport is to safely hit a major league pitch, a fastball, a sinker, a slider, one of those things thrown at the plate at 90 or 94 miles an hour by a serious major league pitcher. It is extremely hard to do that, very hard to do that. That's why I guess if you can do that something like 1 out of 3 times, it's so valuable, they will pay you $150,000 every time you just show up at the game. I mean, it's, you know, the amount of money these people are making, it is absolutely unbelievable. I think Joe Flacco, does anybody know if he got the Super Bowl MVP? I would imagine he did. Most valuable player. If you know for a fact, please call me and let me know. 718-305-7176 is the number. I just, I'm wondering if he did. I hope that he did. But somebody said on TV, I think I caught this a few days ago, that if the Ravens won, there is some clause in his contract that his salary will go to $20 million a year. Think about that. $20 million a year. You know, if Joe Flacco were running a large industrial corporation that employed 10,000, 18,000 people, 40,000 people, whatever, and he were being paid $20 million a year, the liberal media, the left, the professional chattering left, would be beside themselves. They would say it was immoral for him to be earning that kind of money. They would say it was unethical for him to earn that kind of money. They would say it is just plain wrong for him to earn that kind of money. They would say it was criminal for him to earn that kind of money. But because he's an athlete, I guess it's okay. I don't get that. I don't get that. If he does not throw passes, if he does not gain enough first downs, if he does not, if he does not throw any interceptions, or if he does throw interceptions, if he fumbles, if he gets sacked often, who is going to lose their job as a result of that? I guess the answer is nobody. But if you run a large corporation like General Electric or General Motors or General Mills or General Foods or any of the other generals, you have to make the right decision every time. You cannot make a mistake. And if you do make a mistake, your company may take a hit and you may have to lay off 6,000 or 8,000 people. If you don't have very good foresight, if you don't have very good judgment, if you don't have a really excellent management ability, many people can lose their jobs. Many people who have invested in your company can lose their investment. They can lose their money. That's why these enterprises that are so large and these companies that are so large have to pay their top executives millions upon millions of dollars, because they have to get somebody in there that's good, and they have to get somebody in there that knows what they're doing, because the stakes are too high. And there is so much money involved in professional sports. It is amazing. I don't know if you've seen the movie called Moneyball that has Brad Pitt in it. Nick Searcy is in the movie. Nick is going to be the guest this Sunday, incidentally, of Mike Smith and Bing Fisher on Soldiers of Patriotism right here on conservativenationradio.org, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Nick Searcy is a great actor. If you saw the Tom Hanks HBO series called From the Earth to the Moon, he was in that. I think he played, I forget whether he played Gus Grissom or whether he played Deke Slayton. I don't remember, but he, I know who the guy is, and he's a very, very good actor. I think you'll enjoy that interview, so make sure to listen in on Sunday. And you may even be able to call up and speak with him. But he was in the film Moneyball, and I saw Moneyball. I thought it was an extremely well-done film. It made it very, very clear, kind of what baseball was all about. And I thought Brad Pitt did a great job as a guy named Billy Bean, who was the manager of the Oakland Athletics during their 2002 season, when they went from worst to first. And if I remember this correctly, if I understood it correctly, they are the only team in baseball history to have won 20 games in a row. Apparently, the Philadelphia Athletics did it when Connie Mack was the manager at some point around World War I. They won 19 games in a row. Another team did at some point. I forget who it was, but apparently the Oakland Athletics are the only ones in baseball history to have won 20 games in a row. If you know more about that than I do, and frankly, my cat Abigail knows more about that than I do, set me straight on this. Give me a call, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. Thank you very much for being along. Duke Brooks is my name. We are at the bottom of the hour. It is 30 minutes after the hour. More of your calls, more conservative philosophy, Common Sense with Kevin Wade, and On This Day in Civil War History are coming up, so don't go away.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying
me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Yes, indeed, and of course, in November, something like 80 million voters pulled the wrong lever. And I think most of them are now kind of not all that happy that they did. But elections have consequences. What are you going to do? It's 29 minutes before the hour. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Thank you very much for being along. The number this evening, 718-305-7176. If you have an opinion about anything, I mean, I've got, listen, let me tell you, I'm one of these guys that has an opinion about absolutely everything. You know, that's just the way I am. I'm sorry, but that's just the way that I am. I always have an opinion. I'm never afraid to issue it, as I've been doing, and I'm very glad that you are along to take advantage of it. But you should do more than that. You should participate. You should give me a call at 718-305-7176 so that we can talk things over. Speaking of opinions, I heard the other night somebody, one of the talking heads on television, who is actually was a former judge and a prosecutor, who said the Constitution does not specify what kind of arms I can keep and bear. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Guess what? I'm with you on that 100%. Now, because no right is an absolute right, and I accept that. I accept that. Look, you know, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. All right, well, there is a law that prohibits certain Indian tribes, actually it prohibits any Indian tribe or anybody, from ingesting peyote mushrooms, which was their form of religious worship for thousands of years. So there is a law against, obviously, the federal government has violated every single one of the Ten Amendments, the first Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, at one time or another. They have violated every single one of them. Okay, we have freedom of speech. That does not mean that you can slander somebody. It doesn't mean that you can libel somebody. It doesn't mean that you can yell fire in a crowded theater. Okay? I mean, very often public safety is the number one obligation and duty of this or any government. There's no question about it. This is why, and I should have asked Steve Smick this. We'll have him back on again. When government says, okay, we have to make cuts, but we're going to make them across the board. Yep. Every department's going to suffer a little bit. Every department is going to have its budget cut. including public safety, I got to be honest with you, that just does not work for me. It is 34 minutes after the hour. Let's go to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's this?
Hey, Duke. It's Flyover Territory. It's Eric.
Hey, what's going on, pal? How are you? Thanks for calling.
Is the studio not showing the ID? Is it just showing all one numbers again for the Skype?
Well, no, it says flyoverterritory.tn, which I'm presuming means the volunteer state.
Yes. Well, I had to add that because there's another jerk flyover territory somewhere over there in the interweb somewhere. That's all right. I'll find him someday.
Okay, well, after we hunt them down, then what are we going to do? We're going to kill them?
Nah, it'll just involve duct tape and some other things.
There you go. I'm all in favor of it. So what's happening tonight, pal?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about what you were talking about the absolutes of rights just now. You were talking about keep and bear arms and, of course, the First Amendment as well. I can yell fire in a theater if I feel like it. But if there's no smoke and flame to go with it, I better be prepared to face the consequences. I can slander you if I want to, Duke, but I better be prepared to face the consequences. And that's where it all comes down to freedom of choice.
If I want to build
a submarine like the guy in Sausalito Bay a couple of years ago that even had his own little it was either TLC or Nat Geo that did a documentary on it. And all he was doing was building a submarine so he could do, like, underwater tours or maybe sometimes assist the Coast Guard or the U.S. Navy over in Alameda whenever they lost a piece of gear overboard and they didn't want to send down a diver. Because God knows, at Alameda, you don't want to get in the water with just your bare skin.
I would imagine not. That's been an industrial location for a century. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Department of Transportation seized his submarine under some auspices of some BS, since they fall under Homeland Security now, back in mid-2012.
Not good.
No. And they basically said, if you want to get it back, you got to get an attorney. And he's like, yeah, I will. And the reason why is because the guy plunked $175,000 of his own money to build a submarine because, he was in the Navy and he got out of the Navy. He went to Silicon Valley there and he made his money doing that. And he's semi-retired and he decided, hey, I want to build a sightseeing submarine.
Submarine, which he should have every right to do.
And, of course, Mr. Obama would say, well, you didn't build that. Well, I might not have built the plexiglass itself or some of the bulkheads, but I put it together, which means I did build it if you think about it.
Yeah.
And I've got a funny feeling that Department of Transportation was involved because it was a type of vehicle that went under the water and there were screws involved and steering mechanisms, and so they're not going to play the ATF game.
Well, I hope that he is successful in getting his submarine back. If he did not violate any regulation, then not only should he get his submarine back, but the we used to have a law. The only good thing that Jimmy Carter ever did, as far as I'm concerned, as president, other than leaving the presidency, of course, was that he was behind a law that was called Equal Access to Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's on the books anymore, but basically what the law said is that if a federal agency raids your house or they sue you or they do something and you are found innocent, then they have to pay your court costs and your attorney's fees and everything else. And I am absolutely in favor of that. When the federal government is wrong, they have to pay.
Yeah, but there's only some of that still left, Duke. Because a lot of that under the 4th and 11th Amendment got swept under the carpet thanks to Janet Reno back in 1996.
Yeah.
1998 or 1999. And which
why she
also
wasn't fired after Waco, I don't know. Why well, you know, Bill Clinton didn't just say, hey, look, you really screwed that up. Your people really screwed it up. The whole thing was screwed up. A lot of innocent people in there were killed. I expect your resignation by the close of business today. I'm sorry.
Agreed.
I don't know why he didn't do that.
Agreed. And why he kept her on for his second term, I still don't know. Because what ended up happening, the reason why that got brought to my attention, because there was a wrong door, no-knock warrant here in Nashville in 99 or 2000. It was before Billy Bob left office. And a black minister here in Nashville heard somebody breaking down his front door, grabs his Mossberg Defender shotgun, brandishes it, and three ATF guys shot him, killed him. And then they turned around and they seized all of his widow's stuff.
His wife had passed away?
Well, the wife passed away recently. I think it was like 2011 or 2010. But what's sad about that is this woman fought tooth and nail for 3 years to get her home and her possessions back, and all because some douche nozzle over at ATF couldn't read an address because the door they were supposed to do the no-knock on was two doors down.
There you go. Nothing but the best with the taxpayers' money.
Well, it's just like with their sting operation that folded like a house of cards that they had up and running for 14 months in Milwaukee recently.
Fill me in on that. I'm not familiar with it.
They were basically doing a sting for drugs and guns, and they were running it. It was called the No Fear Sting.
Okay.
No, excuse me. It was called the Fearless Sting. And it's up at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can look at it up there. It's
okay.
It was recently in Drudge Report. It was it'd be in the archives now because it's not a story that's very old. I think it's been within the last 5 days. But basically, they got broken into because they had taken in some weapons, and then they're doing all the background and the forensics and all the rest of that. But they're leaving them in an unsecured location in the back of the shop that they were renting. And now they've turned around and ganked over the landlord that they were leasing from, and he can't hear a peep out of them. To the tune of $13,000 and some change.
So they owe him money and they're not paying him.
Of course. Plus, on top of that, weapons had been stolen. Some weapons with, and they didn't arrest the guy on the spot because they didn't want to, you know, expose their sting operation. They had one guy come in with a Desert Eagle that had all the serial numbers filed off.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was 9mm or a 40 or a 357 or a 44, but an Eagle's a pretty big gun.
Yeah.
And it was all nickel-plated or chrome or whatever, and it was all pretty-looking, so it probably caught some criminal's eye.
Unbelievable. My buddy, thank you so much for calling. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Appreciate it.
I've got to run along, but I certainly hope to hear from you next Monday night, all right?
Sure, not a problem. I think Bing's probably waiting, too.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Catch you later.
Have a great evening. All right, let us go to the phones. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ben from Conservative Nation Radio, Soldiers of Patriots.
What's going
How
on,
you doing,
boss? How are you doing? Hey, can I ask you to hold on because I want to do on this date in the Civil War and Common Sense with Kevin Wade, and then I want to get right back to you. Can you hang in there for a couple of minutes?
Oh, surely, man. I ain't doing nothing.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Anyway, it is 43 minutes after the hour. And by now you should know what that means. On this day in Civil War history, February 4th, 1863, 150 years ago today, it was a Wednesday back then, Federal troops drove Marmaduke's men out of Battsville, Arkansas, and there was a skirmish near Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Major General John Sedgwick succeeded W.F. Smith in command of the 6th Corps of the Army of the Potomac. That was a Union army. President Jefferson Davis wrote Robert E. Lee of the worry of authorities over the federal threats on the South Carolina and Georgia coasts. Yeah, I would imagine if I were Jefferson Davis, I would have been very worried about the federal blockade and the Anaconda Plan, which is what was in effect back then, all along the Confederate coast. It was nasty. In any event, let's check in with my friend Kevin Wade for a dosage of common sense.
For some reason, many Americans think the oil producers are the enemy. They talk about high profits, pollution, and environmental damage as if that's the real agenda of the energy companies. Typically, a big oil company earns about 7 cents on a gallon of gas, but the federal government imposes a tax of about 18 cents per gallon, and most states tax each gallon even more. In Delaware, for instance, the total state and federal tax is almost 60 cents per gallon, and foreign suppliers siphon $1 billion a day from American consumers. Can we do something about this? Do we have the resources to provide for our own oil needs without buying from foreign hands? Of course we do. Some thoughts on that after this.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
The lowest unemployment in America is in North Dakota, where billions of barrels of oil will be produced with the latest technology. Let North Dakota be our compass for oil independence, American oil for lower gas prices, lower food prices, and lower cost to produce goods, fueling a real recovery. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Yes, indeed, that is just common sense, and my friend Kevin Wade has common sense in spades. 13 minutes now before the hour. Bing Fisher is with us. Bing, what's going on in the volunteer state, my buddy?
Well, I'm sitting there tonight remembering Chris Kyle, American Sniper, and also his friend Chad Littlefield, and being gunned down so tragically in what happened out there at the shooting range, and I just wanted to say, rest in peace. Both of you guys, I'm sure they're both going to be, manning the gates of heaven for the rest of us, standing guard. And I just wanted to put that out to everybody. And I just also wanted to say, look, don't forget about the Third Amendment. It's very important. And it's something that's lacking in what people's knowledge is as far as what the Third Amendment is. And what the Second Amendment,
Bing, if I'm not mistaken, among other things, I think the Third Amendment says that they shall not quarter troops during time of peace on people's property. Isn't that basically it?
Without their consent, yes.
Yep, that's
and
it.
See, people have lost this amendment. It's almost like when you talk to somebody about Second Amendment gun control issue, they forget about the third. And they can't remember because they weren't alive back then. But the British troops were sitting there pillaging people's property, Agenda 21. Sure. Does that come to mind? Taking people's wives, children, and so on. So, look, it all ties together. All these amendments tie together. It's part of the Bill of Rights, our inalienable, God-given rights to man to protect themselves from the tyranny of government. And that's what this is all about. And I just want to say,
Federal government violated the Third Amendment during Reconstruction because they quartered troops on people's property in the former Confederate states. even after some of those states were readmitted to the Union, the federal government has violated every single one of the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. There isn't any question. They have violated every single one of them. No question about it.
No question. I mean, this is the Communist Manifesto. This was introduced back in the 60s. This is something that they are doing on a constant daily basis. And they all, you know, and part of this, part and parcel of this also, Duke, is, and as you know, is that they are indoctrinating our children as far as how they want them to behave.
And yeah, what to think, not how to think.
Right. And one thing, look, when we sit there and talk about smokers' rights, okay, we want to ban smoking. Okay, everybody, you know, people get on that. Yeah, I don't want to go to a restaurant where they smoke. Well, okay, that's the restaurant owner's deal, in my opinion, all right? But the thing is that they don't understand that this leads to other laws against them. This leads to the 16-ounce, big mega soda drink law that they can't drink now. See, we have to protect all people's rights, I think.
Bing, there are just some people who are so ignorant and so blissfully unaware of everything around them that their entire outlook is, look, if the government says it, I'm not going to question it. And if there is one organization in the history of the human race that needs to be regularly, roundly, thoroughly and fully questioned at all times, it's government.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. And it's up to we the people. We the people need to do this. Not other people. Not another country. Not the UN. We the people need to do this. So thanks for having me on the show. And look, I originally called, I just wanted to say a big, you know, thank you and kudos for what you guys are doing, and also to honor, you know, both Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield.
Yeah, agreed. Now, let me ask you this. Have you or has our friend Carl gotten hold of any news as to what the motivation of the guy was who shot and killed them both? And apparently he was somebody that they knew.
Right. Their mother asked them because he was a veteran. He had post-traumatic stress syndrome, all right? And, you know, as you know, Chris Kyle was a very big helper of that. All his proceeds, from what I know, from his book, American Sniper, went to help people in that condition, okay? Because there's a condition there. There's another man, Bob Calvert, from Talking with Heroes. This guy knows. He's seen it all. We need to get him on these programs and book him, because he's easy to talk to. But anyways, there is a problem here, and this is isolated from all these other shootings, okay, with the kids and all that kind of stuff. This is different, all right? They trusted him. They wanted to help him. He got shot in the back, from what I hear, and it's tragic. You know, it's tragic.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Yeah. But you know
what? But they were trying to help. It's what they were trying to do, and I admire them for that. And in one aspect, he died, I guess, by what he thought. But some of the Twitter posts and Facebook things from Ron Paul are just out over the limb right now. I've been following them, and they're just out there.
Well, you know, the bad news about this, I think, is that now there are going to be some people in government, no question about it, who are going to be saying things like, you can't trust people that have been in combat. PTSD is more widespread, more dangerous than we're willing to acknowledge up till now. And we're going to have to declare all returning veterans as potentially dangerous people. Here is some legislation that Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer and Senator Reid are going to sponsor to basically, when those guys come back, we lock them up for 90 days of psychiatric evaluation. I mean, that's, you know, I think that you can probably wait. This is going to be coming down the line any moment now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the mind is open. You know, it's an open pit, an open torrent as far as all the things that they're going to start to come up with. You know, they don't really take anything. A crisis is, you know, they don't want to waste it, you know. So
that's exactly right.
You know, so they're just going to pull out whatever stops they have. The fact is that this man needed some help. His mother knew that he needed some help. Chris Kyle accepted that honor to help him, because to him, I think it was an honor, and he did try to help him. And, you know, he got shot in the back for it, and it's tragic and so on, but, you know, he did try to help. He did. You know, and maybe this is another topic for another show, Duke. Obviously it is, but, you know, I'm thinking about heroes here, and he is a hero to me. And,
no,
you know,
question
just like
about it.
Neil Armstrong was a hero to me. There's a lot of people that were heroes to me in my life, you know, my father, you know, different people. They're just heroes to me, and this guy deserves a hero, a hero resemblance and a hero burial and a hero invocation, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. Bing, thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend.
Thank you, Duke.
I hope you guys had a good day off yesterday, but I know you're going to be putting your nose to the grindstone on Sunday, and I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, you didn't call in the show yesterday. What's up with that?
Yeah, the show that was not on the air yesterday? Yeah, I got you. Hey, you guys pulled rank. You know, you and Michael can do that. People like me can't. But thank you for calling, my friend.
You're welcome, man. I was getting off a cold anyways, but thank you. Carry
on.
Right.
All right. Look forward to speaking with you again, Bing Fisher. Now then, we all know that there is strength in conservatism. That's obviously why we're all here. And my friend Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, Ann Coulter, Nikki Haley, they have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. That rolls out Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and that is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, so let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative guys are welcome to join in as well. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. And speaking of women patriots, here's Barbara Buffing, everybody. Good evening, Barbara. How are you tonight?
I am very good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, just wonderful. Thanks for being along. Why don't you fill us in on what is going to be going on tomorrow night on Women Patriots?
Oh, I'm real excited. We will be Ben Shapiro, editor-at-large of Breitbart.com, will be joining us and discussing his newest book, Bullies, How the Left Culture of Fear and Intimidation Silences Americans. And we'll be getting him on the phone at 6:30, so he'll be with us for a good 30 minutes. And then at the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined with Monica Boyer. She is the author of Not on My Watch. She's like the rest of us who just didn't want to sit back and not do anything anymore. She's doing something. She's a mother, and, you know, her kids are in school, so she's going to talk a bit about her life for us and what she's doing. So we have a really exciting show tomorrow night. So we're on from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. And tune in right here at conservativenationradio.org.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I really look forward to hearing
you
tomorrow night. No, no, no.
Thank you. No.
All right. Thank you so much, Barbara. All right. Always a pleasure to hear from Barbara and Brenda. Make sure that you are along tomorrow night for Women Patriots right here on conservativenationradio.org. You know, we are proud here at conservativenationradio.org to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, and that is LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps you protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on LifeLock. Duke Brooks here, signing off. Have a great evening. See you next Monday.